Psalm 122, verse 1, the Bible says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so I want to preach to you this morning a simple message on an invitation. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you today. Thank you so much for the good week you've given us, Lord. Thank you for another day that the saints can assemble together here in this sanctuary that you've given us at Spring City. And Father, I pray that each person has come today with their hearts prepared to receive the word, and Lord, that you would please speak through me to the heart of your people today. Use me today, Lord, as a vessel that's sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and I pray you'll use me to glorify and honor yourself today. Thank you, Lord, for being a welcoming and an inviting God. Lord, thank you for how you've blessed this church for 90 years. And Lord, I pray that as your people, Lord, that we would resemble these characteristics in our lives and our daily conversations and as we go about our lives and our business every day. Lord, that we'd just be mindful very simply to be welcoming to folks and that we'd extend an invitation. I pray that you'll help us to mix the preaching with faith this morning, that it might be profitable and effectual. And Lord, we do pray if there's a soul here in the sanctuary who's never been born again, maybe there's someone listening over the radio who's never been saved. Lord, help us to give the right invitation this morning and remind them that right now, Lord, you're inviting them to call upon your name for the saving of their soul. And Lord, you wait with open arms saying, come unto me, come, and I will in no wise cast you out. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us today and help us, Lord, as we go about the ministries of the day, that you get honor and glory from everything that we say and do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, again, enjoyed having our friends and family and some surprise visitors this past week. And Brother Knox, as he finished out there on Wednesday night, he really bore his heart to this church. And I hope that you hadn't already turned him off or, it's late when we finish, 8:30, 8:45, something like that. But he exhorted our church that over the next 10 years, that'd make us 100, right? That over the next 10 years, that every person that's here at Spring City would win one person to Jesus Christ and bring them to church. We sing a song, it's on the radio sometimes, each one win one. And that becomes a sort of a popular moniker cry amongst churches. But boy, if you think about that, I don't know what we got here this morning, 40, 50 people, something like that here, and the kids downstairs. But boy, if you think about that, in 10 years, if one person won another person to Christ and brought him to church, we're probably all not going to be here in 10 years. And that's the reality of it. Some are going to pass on to glory. Others' life circumstances may move away, but the point is, if we're replenishing as a church, then there'll be people here. But if we just get like those four lepers did over there in 2 Kings 7, we just want it to be ourselves and nobody else, that's not sustainable. And you understand that. And so Brother Knox, he just bore his heart and exhorted our church to each one win one over the next 10 years. If you remember his first message that he preached was that man of Macedonia, and he said, everybody in here has got a man of Macedonia that you need to reach. And boy, I appreciated that. Everybody in here, you know somebody, either a family member or a coworker or a neighbor or an acquaintance or somebody that you've come into contact with that either needs to be saved or needs to be in a good church. And God's put you in contact with them. And all the Lord wants you to do is to be a witness for Him or to just invite them. Just give them that simple invitation. I think sometimes we discount the power of a simple invitation. And I told our Sunday school teachers today I'm going to talk about two words. The first is invitation. Tonight will be initiative. And I hope I don't embarrass these folks. It is never my intention to do this. But we have two visitors here today, and they came by different means. We have Miss Ava over here. She was invited by Miss Isabella. And it was so much easier for Miss Ava to walk into this church because she knew Isabella. And Isabella said, you can sit with me, I think. Probably said that, okay? And Miss Kathy's downstairs. She's ordering Pizza Town, calling it in before 11 o'clock starts so that they can have supper or lunch, whatever it is, ready when they get out of here. And it's just easier if you invite somebody and you say, listen, you come to church, you can sit with me when you get here. Oh, it's so much easier if they know somebody. It's a warm welcome. And then, again, Mr. Jesse, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but Mr. Jesse came on his own initiative this morning. And I appreciate both of them being here, but can I tell you, Miss Ava being here is way more frequent because somebody invited them versus someone like Mr. Jesse just showing up of their own accord. That's a pretty rare thing. But to invite somebody, oh, they want me to come. To invite somebody, it shows personal interest in that person. And especially, I hope that you could say this with a clear conscience that, you know, boy, we really love our church. We think it's the best church around. We really enjoy what God's doing at Spring City. Won't you come be with us? Amen. I hope you can say that. I hope that's right. And so if you look here in Psalm 122, this is a song of David. And I know context-wise, this is millennial kingdom, and I understand it's, you know, the third temple being built, and we're going in with Jesus. I get all of that, okay? But I want the sentiment this morning of this. He says, I was glad when they said unto me. You know, some people are just waiting for an invitation. I mean, Spring City Baptist Church has been in this community for 90 years. Praise the Lord. And I understand our church is not the most popular church in the world because of the stand that we take upon the Bible and we try to live a serious Christian life here. I get all that. But, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning. I said, I think too many times a church like ours, you know, we hear the sarcasm. You hear some of the things that people say trying to put our church down in the community. And that really affects us. And what it does is it causes us to not invite someone. Because we think, well, if I invite them, they've heard all the bad stuff about us. Well, maybe they have. And here's a great opportunity for you to invite them, and they say, well, I've heard about your church. And you can ask them, you can say, have you been to our church? Well, no, I've not been over there. I just heard some things. Say, why don't you just come and see for yourself? Why don't you just come experience a service at Spring City and see if any of that stuff's true? Challenge them. I enjoy coming to church here. I got no problem inviting people to come here. We have nothing to hide. You know what we have to offer? Jesus Christ. He's the greatest thing you could ever offer somebody. A.W. Tozer said this many years ago. He said, it is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. And you know, that's what we have to offer here. The God who loved us enough to send his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins. The only thing we've got to offer here is God and his righteousness that he'll give to whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. The only thing we have to offer here is a life that the Bible teaches that God says it'll be a better life. It's a good path. It's a good way to walk therein. It's different than the world's path. Hallelujah. It's different than maybe sometimes our own wisdom. But I'm telling you, what God has in this Bible for his people is the best life you'll ever live this side of eternity. That's what we have to offer. You know what we have to offer at this church? We've got a church family that loves each other. The world, they'll take people and use them until they're done with them and kick them to the side and go on to the next person. Not this church. I've watched people in this church for decades stand beside their brothers and sisters in Christ and hold them up and put their arm around them and pray for them and provide for their needs and give them money behind their back and nobody else knows they've done and be a blessing to the saints. That's what this church is all about. Sure, the world's going to make fun of you. Sure, the world's going to say some things they shouldn't say about you, but just invite someone to come to the greatest thing that you know this side of eternity and say, won't you just come experience what we're experiencing? I was glad when they said unto me. Now we do a lot of this and there's nothing wrong with it. We'll put out a social media post probably tomorrow morning. Has the list of the week and the speakers and in that post it'll be an invitation. Come join us. We'll send out mailers from time to time. Come join us. We'll put in the newspaper, come join us. We'll put on the radio, come join us. We put those sort of blanket invitations out. And there's nothing wrong with that, and you ought to do that. But I'll tell you, there's something really powerful about a personal one-on-one invitation. Would you come to my church and sit with me? David said, I was glad when they said unto me personally, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you understand, this invitation is not just telling someone, oh, you ought to be in church, or maybe even just telling someone you ought to be saved, but it's let us go, right? I'm going to be there and you can come be there, or I'll come pick you up. Or you can come to my house and leave your car and we'll ride together. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. Just what we call that second mile Christianity. Just going a little extra step. See, if it doesn't inconvenience us, it's probably not worth doing. And I know we get in these modes and we've got our schedules and we're going to do it our way and we've always done it this way, but sometimes the Lord just needs us to break that pattern and just go out of our way and really give the effort to be a blessing to somebody. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, you probably wouldn't have any problem getting somebody to go if you said, hey, let's go to Texas Roadhouse and eat this afternoon. They might look at you and say, you buy? You say, sure. Boy, they'll be there. Or, hey, let's go to a ball game. Man, no problem doing that. They're happy to go do that. Why are we not giving the same invitation for church? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Really? Yeah, man, we have a great time at church. Man, God blesses, gives us great messages from the Bible. Got a bunch of people we love to fellowship with. It's great. Oh, really? Well, I thought church was boring. Not at Spring City. Maybe it is. I don't know, but I hope it's not. I mentioned those four lepers earlier. You know, they didn't, at first they were just going to keep all that spoil. You remember all that, about the Syrians besieging the city, and it was really dire. And God goes out there and turns all those Syrians around, and those lepers go and they start keeping that spoil and starting going to hide it. And they look at each other and they're saying, this ain't right. And they go in there and they tell the king sends out and the whole city's able to come out and enjoy the victory that God gave them. The whole city's able to come out and eat a proper meal for the first time in a long time. Because you know they were eating their babies in that city. And they get to come out there and get gold and silver in abundance. And they go from being the poorest people on the face of the earth to the richest people on the face of the earth in the course of about an hour. And those lepers did what was right. You've heard this saying before, us four and no more. That cannot be the church's mentality. I preached a message on that about a year ago here. Listen, if it's good at Spring City, we got to tell somebody. The kids sang the song Tuesday or Wednesday night. Brother Knox was here, and it just thrilled his heart because that song's on his CD. Got to tell everybody. Tell everybody what Jesus has done. Tell everybody what God's done. Tell everybody what a great church this is. I want to keep it to ourselves. I want to be a blessing to others. Amen? Amen. You know what I've found? Sometimes folks are interested, or maybe they're just curious. And all they're looking for is just a warm invite. Hey, won't you come? I tell you, I said it already today, but a special meeting, sometimes we have the tent meeting and we'll invite folks to come to the tent meeting. And it's just a little less awkward sometimes to go to a tent than it is to a church or a special meeting time. You know, it's something that's exciting. There's some excitement that surrounds that and you invite folks and they come and they get to see what's really happening at Spring City Baptist Church or what's really happening in the Bible or what Jesus really did for them, whatever it is. And all they needed was just that little warm invitation. Would you come? Why don't you come join us? And so that's a warm, friendly invite. I think I could say this here, and everybody would understand. We're not interested at Spring City in being a social club, but we do enjoy fellowshipping with each other. We're not interested at Spring City in necessarily entertainment, although we have a good time when we get together. But you know why we have a good time? Because our hearts are set to seek after the Lord, and we love that Bible. And we love the preaching of the Word of God, and we love to sing the hymns, and we love to talk about spiritual things one to another, and we enjoy that. I know the world doesn't necessarily enjoy that, but we enjoy that. And so we're not necessarily interested in entertainment, but we do want the church and the body to be edified. And I know there's not a lot of people seeking for that today, maybe as there used to be in generations past, but there's some. There's some. I don't know, you hesitate to say anything about these kind of things, but there's a young family that has expressed interest that they might come and visit Spring City sometime, and I'm praying to God that they will. Not everybody's turned their back on God. Not everybody has lost interest in the things of God. There's still some people out there that are interested in God and interested in the Bible, and we just got to find the man of Macedonia. Just got to find the family of Russell County. Now, I'll say to you this morning, our God is an inviting God. We sang all those songs on purpose this morning. You've been around long enough, and I've pastored here long enough now. You know, when we start that song service, it's got something to do with the service or the message for that day. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 1. You turn your Bibles now. Amen. Wake back up. Isaiah chapter 1. Our God is an inviting God. And He doesn't just invite those that love Him. He invites those that are His enemies. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And obviously we ought to be friendly people, and we ought to be gratuitous and hospitable to folks. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the example, and He was hospitable, He was kind, He was inviting to people that didn't necessarily love Him. To people that were opposed to Him in many ways. And here in Isaiah, you're familiar with Isaiah's ministry and the nation of Israel going off track and not obeying God. And so God sent them Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets to try to turn their hearts back to God. But Isaiah 1:18 opens up the first chapter of this man's ministry. And it says here in verse 18, come now. This is God speaking. And He speaks to the nation of Israel and He says, come now. That's an invitation, isn't it? He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God said, I want to talk to you. Would you come talk to me? It's an invitation. Would you come sit down and let's reason this thing out. Let's discuss this thing. Let's talk about this. And then God's going to try to help the nation of Israel to see where they're erring and where they're sinning against Him. And He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, and look at the offer. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they are, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God says, listen, nation of Israel, would you, I'm inviting you, come to the table. And the Lord says, I need to talk to you about something. Your sins are as scarlet, they're displeasing to me. But nation of Israel, here's the offer. I will wash you as white as snow. I will make you as white as the sheep's wool if you want it. And the next verse is, if you be willing and obedient. But God was invited. Listen, this nation that's going sideways, and this nation that's opposed to God, God Almighty from heaven sends a man and says, invite them to the table. I'd like to talk to them. What a thing. You know, we got missionaries, 91 missionaries spread out all over the world today. Many of them have already had their services. They've already preached. The church has already got together and we praise the Lord for that. You know what those missionaries will do from time to time? They'll meet a sinner. They'll meet someone that's lost on that mission field. And they'll say to them, would you come over to my house? I'd like to fix you a meal and talk to you. Could we go down to the cafe and grab a cup of coffee? I'd like to chat with you about something. Would you take some time out of your Saturday and could you come over to wherever and let's just sit down and talk for a while? Is that not what God did with the nation right here? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And would to God that we would match that and that invitation and that desire to talk. Look, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11 now. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. By the way, the Lord's still extending that invitation today to any and all who've never been born again. Those that are lost in trespasses and sins and dead in trespasses and sins, the Lord desires to save their soul. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know we talk about this, and we sang in that song, the word said, for the Lord saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. And people don't think about themselves like that. Amazing Grace says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But the reality is, once people see themselves as sinners in the eyes of a holy God, that's the only way you could describe yourself. But most people don't see themselves that way. And God is looking to the church, and he's looking to the preachers and to the pastors and to the saved individuals all across America. And he's saying, I need you to go witness for me. And he says, you're my ambassador to that lost and dying world. And Jesus Christ says, would you go and extend the invitation that I'm extending to the lost? Would you go and extend the invitation that I'm extending to those that are lost and undone in their sin and on the way to hell? He said, would you tell them that I love them? Would you tell them that it's open right now? They can call upon me and be saved today and be washed as white as snow. That's the invitation God's giving out. It's the invitation God's people should be giving out. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew chapter 11, I think these words have been in every song we sang this morning. Verse 28, Jesus gives this wonderful invitation. Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a great promise. Amen. That's a promise you and I can stand on. 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's inviting, amen. He's welcoming, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I won't re-preach the whole thing, but Brother Ron Ralph coming this week. Brother Ron is an 18-year-old young man. His mother died. His dad wasn't in the picture. He had an abusive father for the time that he was alive. And Brother Ron Ralph was suicidal by his own testimony, suicidal at the age of 18. And he's struggling, he's floundering, they're going to all kinds of different churches and getting presented with all kinds of different doctrine. And he's just asking God and he's begging God and he's praying the best he knows how as a lost man. God, just show me the truth. Just show me what's real. And the Lord brought this passage to his mind, and it was these words, Brother Ron's testimony, were the words that brought him to Jesus Christ when Jesus said, come unto me. There's a young man that the world, he felt like the world didn't want him, the churches didn't want him, his family didn't want him, but Jesus said, I'll take you. Oh, church, could we get our eyes on the fields that are white already to harvest? We look at the world today and say it's cold, it's indifferent, nobody cares, nobody's interested. But Jesus said, that's not how I see it. He said, it's ready to be harvested, I just need some people to go labor. I just need some people to go make the invitation. We got that parable where the Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges and do what? Compel them to come in. Did they all come in? No. Some of them made excuse, didn't they? Well, I got this to do. I got to go see this house. Got to go prove these oxen. The guy said, I got married. I can't come. But the Lord is inviting, the Lord is welcoming, and he's calling to all. He's calling to all men, all women, all across the earth. Would you come? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if you be willing. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if you obey the gospel. The Lord's an inviting God. He's a welcoming God. Chapter 6 of the book of John. Flip over there real quickly. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus here is getting challenged by the Pharisees on a lot of things. Let's begin reading. We got just a couple minutes this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 25, John 6, 25. The Bible says, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now this was a common occurrence during Jesus' ministry, that people would follow him around, and you'll maybe forgive me for using such a base word about this, but they would follow him around to see what they thought was the circus. Here's Jesus performing miracles. Here's Jesus raising the dead. Here's Jesus giving sight to the blind. Here's Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you got to admit, that'd be something to see. But the attraction to Jesus was not always with a pure motive. It was not always with a pure heart. They were interested in, what can Jesus do for me? And in some senses, that was fine. But the Lord tells these people, he said, you're not seeking me because you want to be around the Son of God. He said, you're not seeking me because you want salvation from your sins. He said, you're seeking me for what I can do for you. And I would say to us, as we extend our invitations to people in this community, and we extend invitations to our family and friends and coworkers, we don't want to present Jesus in the wrong light, or we don't want to invite them with the wrong motive. We want them to come because Jesus is the attraction. But he's not necessarily the attraction just for making them rich or for giving them comfort in their life, although he can do those things. We want them to fall in love with Jesus Christ, who loved them and gave himself for them. And he says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now watch this. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you what? That you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee, or what dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, referencing back to the Israel's wilderness journey. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Hey, that sounded pretty good to them, didn't it? And look what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Look. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Sounds like an invitation to me. They said, Lord, give us that bread that will live forever. And he said, I'm the bread. He said, if you'll come to me, I'll not cast you out. The Samaritan woman, we're going to talk about her here in just a moment. That Samaritan woman, she comes up there and she's trying to draw that water. And Jesus said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. And she says, Lord, evermore give me that water. And he, of course, is talking about himself and eternal life. And so the Lord is an inviting God. Come now, he says, come unto me. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. And we trust that as God's people, we should also be as inviting in pointing people to Jesus Christ. Come with me now to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I hope you'll invite some folks the next few nights to come for the 90th anniversary. Hope you'll give them a warm invitation. Never know, they might show up. John chapter 1, verse 35. Watch all this inviting that goes on here. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. This is John's testimony of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus Christ. 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, what? Come and see. Now that's a simple request, isn't it? John's disciples start following Jesus, and Jesus stops and says, what are you guys looking for? And they said, Lord, we want to see where you live. You know, that's kind of personal space, isn't it? I mean, you don't just invite anybody to your house. But those that get invited to your house feel a warmth and a reception. And these men just tell Jesus, we want to see where you live. And Jesus said, okay, come on. I'll show you. Come and see. He's an inviting God. 39, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Well, here it starts. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, probably down at the fishing dock, don't you imagine? Probably down there cleaning his nets or cleaning the fish or whatever. Doesn't matter. He says, he findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Look, verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, it doesn't say what he said to him, but somewhere in there he had to say, come with me, I'll show you. Come on, I'll take you to him. It's the same principle. Come with me, brother, I'll show you Jesus Christ. And so they come, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. There's another invitation. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. See all these guys finding their buddies? Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And we sing that wonderful song around here, hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well, if you found that, go find somebody else and tell them where to find that life. Amen. Go find somebody else and tell them, look, I've found Jesus. He's the greatest thing ever happened to me. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith, we have found him. Verse 46, now Nathanael saith unto him. Now what? Now Nathanael's sort of like a lot of people today. He's kind of skeptical. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, this was a misunderstanding about Jesus Christ, his whole ministry. We know that Jesus Christ was born where? In Bethlehem, right? And that's what all the prophets prophesied. The Son of God would come through Bethlehem and the Messiah would come through Bethlehem. But yet he was only in Bethlehem for a very short time. You remember that when he was born there and the wise men come to see him. Shortly after that, Herod's going to make that decree about killing all the babies. And the Lord tells Joseph, the angel Lord tells Joseph, I need you to go down to Egypt for a while and get Jesus out of this town. And so Joseph takes Mary and Jesus down there and their time and sojourn in Egypt. And then God says, okay, it's time to go back. And they come back and they don't go live in Bethlehem. They go live where Mary and Joseph had a house, and that was in Nazareth. And yet all the Pharisees confused that fact and said, well, Jesus came from Nazareth. And no, the prophets don't say that the Messiah is coming out of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael said. It sort of sounds like it's maybe not the greatest place in the world to live. Probably a pretty blue-collar town, if I had to guess, if Joseph's building tables down there, Brother Dave. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And we got places like that around America and around our community where you don't necessarily want to live or be from. And here's Nathanael, and he's prejudiced against people from Nazareth because, you know, he doesn't live there. And he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And man, I like Philip's answer. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Hey, would you come join us for our 90th anniversary? Oh, I've heard some things about your church. Well, come and see. Hey, would you join us for our 90th anniversary? Oh, I tell you, I had somebody tell me something happened over a long time ago. I don't know if I'd go to that church. Well, why don't you come and see? Would you come to our 90th anniversary? Oh, I heard Pastor Brown, he's really mean. Well, he's not preaching. But would you come and see? See, I love Philip because as independent Baptists, so many times we're geared to argue with them. And probably if that was us, we'd say, yeah, Jesus came out of Nazareth. Come on, man. What's wrong with you? But oh, Philip, he's just got that demeanor about him. He says, well, why don't you just come and see? Now watch what, and he convinced him. Nathanael says, all right. 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In other words, Nathanael is a very genuine man. He's not deceptive. He doesn't play games. He's straight down the line like many of you are at this church. And Jesus said, there's no guile in that man. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Well, you know, only God can see that. Only God could know that. And Nathanael understands, verse 49, answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And you know why he made that confession? Because Philip said, won't you come and see? He didn't get mad. He didn't get defensive. Philip just said, well, come on, come see for yourself. And when Nathanael is confronted with Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the only thing he could say is, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel, and what a great thing. That's what we want people to come to Spring City Baptist Church for, is to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. That's what we want people to come to this church for, is so they see Jesus Christ, the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. We want folks to come to this church so Jesus Christ can be their Savior, so that Jesus Christ can be their shepherd, amen, so that they can live a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. He's to have the preeminence here, and we want Him to have it. And we just want people to come and experience what a great Savior He is. Has He blessed you in your life? Glad you're saved? Living pretty good because you're serving Jesus? Listen, it's not always going to be like that. We understand that. But I'm telling you, to have Jesus as your Savior, to have your sins forgiven, to know for a certainty that when you take the last breath on this earth, you'll lift up your eyes in heaven, not in torments. There is no peace like that. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. You invite someone, well, I heard, oh, won't you just come and see? I did this one time. It didn't work. The guy didn't come. Brother Dan Bush and I were knocking on doors many years ago, and we knocked on a door in an apartment complex here in this town, and a young man came to the door. I say young. He was probably our age, in the 30s, and real gruff. You know, he said, what can I do for you? I told him who we were from Spring City Baptist Church, and I said, we'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ, and here's what he said. He said, the last preacher I talked to condemned me. And I said, well, I'd like a chance to sit down and talk with you. I said, if you'll come to church, I said, or I'll come back out here to your apartment. And he said, no, I'm not interested. And he closed the door. Listen, all you can do is try to be warm and inviting. Not everybody's going to receive it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. There's a lot that don't. But some will. I've used all my time this morning. John chapter 4, we don't have time to turn over there and look at that. That's the Samaritan woman. And you know Jesus' conversation with her. And he tells her, you've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Now, only God can know that. Only God can know that. And so she goes into town and she gives out the invitation. If you look with me, John 4:27, let's read these. John 4:27. Well, 28. The Bible says this. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, what she say? Come. See a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Then went they out of the city and came unto him. And if you skip down with me now to verse 39, the Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Listen, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Why? Because Jesus is gracious. Jesus is compassionate. He'll stick around where people want him to be. Amen. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. Is that not what we want people to do? To come to a personal, saving knowledge and relationship of Jesus Christ? Sure, your invitation might get them in the building. Sure, your invitation might get them at the table where you can reason with them out of the scriptures. But you want them to trust Jesus from their own heart, not just because of you. We're just the channels, amen. We're just the witnesses. We're just the ambassadors. And it goes on to say, we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Why'd they do that? Because a woman said, come. Might I say this? A woman with not a very good reputation said, come. Remember Rahab on the wall of Jericho? She had to tell her family, you got to come to my house if you want to be saved. The Israelites are coming. The whole city's going to get sacked. But you got to get in my house if you want to be saved. And all of her family had to identify with a harlot in order to be born again. There's a great message in that. Psalm 34 now. We'll finish right here. Psalm 34. I know we have a busy afternoon. I'm being mindful of the time. Psalm chapter 34. This is what we seek to do at Spring City Baptist Church. Psalm 34, verse 1, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, here it is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name. How? Together. That's what we have to offer at Spring City. Magnifying Jesus Christ. Worshiping his name together. Exalting his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. Can you say that today? They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Has he done that for you today? Who have you invited for Jesus to come do the same thing for them? Too many times, and you know as much as I've preached at this church, too many times I think people hesitate to be a witness because maybe they don't know what to say, or they don't feel like they're not going to say it just right, or maybe somebody tells them, you know, they're a Muslim or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness and they don't know how to handle that. But you know as well as I do, and we've preached at this church for decades, the most effective witness you'll ever give is when you just tell somebody else what Jesus did for you. Just straight from your heart, just as sincere and genuine as you can, and just let the Lord take those words and use them. And he will. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think that's an invitation. Would you just try it? Just come and see? Just give it a shot? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And Brother Greg Cook prays this almost every time that he prays, and I so appreciate it. But Jesus said in John chapter 12, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And the desire of our church is to magnify Jesus Christ. Listen, it's to lift up Jesus Christ, make much of him, to exalt his name, and to make him famous. Amen. And to let people know how wonderful he is. Because if we'll exalt Jesus Christ, it'll catch somebody's attention. It'll catch somebody's heart. If we'll make much of Jesus and just magnify him and exalt him, somebody's going to be looking for that. And they'll see it. And they'll get to Jesus. And they'll be saved. And their life will be changed. And it'll all be because somebody was willing to praise the Lord and to give a warm invitation. I'll never get that out of my mind. When Miss Mary walked in here this week, and walked up to her, and she had a smile on her face, and it's so good to see you. We're so glad you're here. And she said, well, somebody invited me. And the Lord said, ain't that simple? It is simple.